Radio Prague News.
The Czech president says he's against Ukraine joining NATO. The Czech Republic supports a two-state solution in the Middle East, the country's prime minister said in Jerusalem. And the leaders of the Social Democrats want to throw out members who joined a local coalition with a far-right party. The Czech president, Miloš Zeman, says he's opposed to the idea of Ukraine joining the NATO military alliance. Speaking on Tuesday on a visit to Kazakhstan, he said Ukraine should be neutral and ought to undergo Finlandization, meaning it should have a position analogous to Finland during the Soviet era when it retained its sovereignty but subordinated its policies to those of its powerful neighbour. Mr. Zeman said he agreed with Germany's foreign minister, who said at the weekend that he could accept NATO cooperation with Ukraine, but not membership. The Czech Republic supports a solution to the Middle East peace process under which the Israelis and the Palestinians would each have an independent state, the country's Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said in Jerusalem on Tuesday. His Israeli counterpart, Benjamin Netanyahu, said he appreciated the fact that the Czech Republic, which he called a traditional ally of his country, didn't support a unilateral solution. The Czech leader and several cabinet members held a joint session with Israeli ministers, at which they signed treaties on cooperation in fields such as research, defence, healthcare and culture. The Ústí nad Labem branch of the Social Democratic Party has thrown its weight behind local representatives in the town of Duchov, North Bohemia. They've raised the ire of the party leadership by entering into a coalition with the far-right Workers' Party of Social Justice. Party boss Bohuslav Sobotka slammed the decision, saying no Social Democrat would enter into what he described as a racist coalition there or elsewhere. The National Party leadership recommended that the Duchov cell be shut down and its members expelled from party ranks. Petr Vokšál of Ano has been elected mayor of the Czech Republic's second city, Brno. He replaces the Social Democrat's Roman Anderka, who held the post for 8 years. Mr. Vokšál's party came first in local elections last month, and he stood unopposed for mayor. Ano is in coalition at Brno City Hall with Žít Brno, the Christian Democrats, and the Green Party. The Social Democrats, the Civic Democrats, and the Communists and Topo 9 make up the opposition. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is planning to ask the State Attorney's Office to look into alleged defamation against the Czech embassy in Ukraine's Kiev. An internal ministry investigation found there was no truth in letters sent to the director of the Foreign Department of the Office of the President stating that employees at the embassy had pressured ethnic Czechs in Ukraine not to speak about their wish to move to the Czech Republic. Věra Došová, who organised the repatriation of a wave of Volhynia Czechs in the early 1990s, said publicly that a number of ethnic Czechs in Ukraine had made such an accusation and handed a list of their names to President Miloš Zeman. He has expressed support for their wish to move to the Czech Republic. The United Arab Emirates is to open an embassy in Prague, E15 reported on Tuesday. The move has already been approved by the Gulf States president and government, the newspaper said, quoting a spokesperson for the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The mission would primarily serve to foster economic ties and would make little practical difference to UAE visitors who haven't needed a visa to enter the Czech Republic since March. It's not known when the embassy will open. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Social Democrat leadership is up in arms over a local government coalition between its party and the ultra-right Workers' Party of Social Justice. We'll have a report, as well as we'll be talking to a well-known analyst about that situation. Then, a little later in the program, stay tuned for In Focus, where we talk to one of the organizers of the second annual National Food Drive. How did it go? Find out in a bit. A major rift has developed within the Social Democratic Party over the decision of the local party organization in the North Bohemian town of Duchcov to enter into a coalition with the ultra-right Workers' Social Justice Party, whose members have in the past organized anti-Romani demonstrations in the town. The party's national leadership has distanced itself from the coalition and called for the local party organization to be scrapped. But the party's regional leadership has surprisingly refused to comply, arguing that the coalition is perfectly legitimate. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Duchcov, a town of 9,000 inhabitants in North Bohemia, has frequently made headlines in the past year due to growing anti-Romani sentiment among the locals. The problems flared up in the wake of an attack against a white couple by five members of the Romani minority. Although a court later ruled that the attack was not racially motivated, the floodgates of anti-Romani sentiment were wide open, and the ultra-right Workers' Social Justice Party exploited the public mood to the full, organizing a number of anti-Romani protests in the town that ended in violent clashes with the police. The Workers' Party of Social Justice, successor to the Workers' Party, which was dissolved by the Czech Supreme Administrative Court in February of 2010 on the grounds that it incited racial hatred, came fourth in October's local elections and accepted an offer from the local Social Democratic Party organization to enter into a three-way coalition made up of the Social Democrats, the Workers' Social Justice Party, and the Communists. The news evoked outrage at the party's national leadership, with party leader, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, saying that under no condition would any social democrat enter into a coalition with an ultra-right party in Duchcov or any other Czech town or village. He called a meeting of the party's national leadership, which unanimously backed his demand for the Duchcov local party organization to be scrapped and its members expelled from social democrat ranks for violating the party's statutes and undermining its basic values. However, Monday's meeting of the party's regional leadership in Ustye brought an unexpected development. The regional organization defied the wishes of the party leadership, saying it had studied the coalition agreement signed in Duchcov and found nothing that would be in violation of the party's statutes. It moreover pointed out that the Workers' Social Justice Party was a legitimate political entity that had received support from the locals. Jaroslav Foldina of the Ústí leadership told Czech television.
We
found nothing which would justify their expulsion, nothing on the grounds of which we could say, get out of the party because you are tarnishing our image. What you are supporting here is racist and xenophobic. We found no such thing.
The new town council in Duchcov has seven members, three social democrats, three communists and one councillor for the Workers' Social Justice Party. The latter, Jindřich Svoboda, is a well-known figure in the town, having organised a series of anti-Romani protests. Although today he claims to have nothing against the Romani minority, a statement posted on his Facebook page in 2013 suggests otherwise. He welcomes growing ethnic unrest and refers to the Roma as black swine who should all be killed. Moreover, as a former organizer of violent anti-Romani protests, Svoboda has now been put in charge of security in the town. Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka reacted to the latest developments from Israel, saying he was not going to let the matter rest and would reopen a debate on the issue upon his return.
Daniela Lazarova reporting there on the situation in Duchcov, where the local Social Democrat branch has formed a coalition with an ultra-right party. Now, the situation in Duchcov and its possible implications for the Social Democrats is understandably a hotly debated topic, both in political circles and the media. And the Prime Minister has expressed grave concern. He described the situation as wholly unacceptable, and he has made clear he will fight to enforce the recommendation of the national party leadership. We asked political commentator Yiti Pehe how important it is for the Social Democrat leader to win this particular battle.
Well, I think it is extremely important for Mr. Sobotka to win this particular battle because, a democratic party such as the Social Democratic Party with a long tradition in the Czech Republic and a certain profile cannot afford to be perceived by the public as the party that goes into coalitions with the right-wing extremists. I think that the party damaged itself already a bit when it actually created a number of coalitions with the Communist Party after the regional elections 2 years ago. And And this would be another step that I think could really damage the image of the party. So Mr. Sobotka really needs to win this battle, or at least to convince the public that he has done his best to prevent this coalition.
How do you interpret the regional government's decision, the regional leadership's decision to actually come out in support of this coalition and defy the Prime Minister?
Well, I'm afraid that the Social Democratic Party has many different layers, and especially in some regions, such as the Northern Bohemian region and some other socially problematic areas, the Social Democrats, local Social Democrats or regional Social Democrats quite often sympathize with the views of some of the extreme right politicians with regards to minorities, and especially the Roma minority in those areas, and they sort of pander to the lowest possible denominator to attract voters. And I think this is part of this strategy where the local social democratic leaders do not want to be seen as not really understanding the problems of sort of lower class local population, which quite often is in a conflict with the local Roma population.
Is Mr. Sobotka strong enough to win this battle? Does he have enough supporters, allies in the national leadership?
I think that on the national level, Sobotka has enough support. The question is whether the leadership of the Social Democratic Party can really do much. It means whether they have really strong tools to deal with the regional leadership. They can, of course, as they did, abolish a local organization of the Social Democratic Party, but when they get into a conflict with one of the regional leaderships of the party, then the issue is much more complicated. So how this will be played out really depends to a large extent on status of the Social Democratic Party, on the ability of the leadership to use the internal democratic mechanisms and decision-making mechanisms to deal with this effectively.
Analyst Yiti Pehe was talking there to Daniela Lazareva about the issue making the most headlines this day, which is a highly controversial coalition, local coalition, between the Social Democratic Party and an ultra-right extremist party in Duhcov. Do you have an opinion you'd like to express about that situation? Do you think that the Prime Minister will win this fight? You can write to english@radio.cz with your comments or questions about the situation. Now, though, it's time for In Focus with Jan Richter.
Over 170 tons of food was donated to Czech charities and NGOs in the second national food collection that took place over the weekend. Individual supermarket chains and food producers all chipped in to provide some 350,000 meals for those in need. Organizers consider the food drive's second edition a major success and say that a recent change in tax rules will prompt companies to donate even more food in the future. I discussed the national food collection with Pavlína Kalousová, the head of Business for Society, a corporate responsibility platform that organized the campaign.
This year's national collection was a big success. We expected around 100 tons of food because we extended the number of shops and places where people could come and collect food. So 173 tons is a major success, and it shows the wave of solidarity of people in the Czech Republic, actually.
This has been the second time, of course, the food collection has been held. How did the whole idea come about?
We started last year when we were approached by one of the retailers, Tesco's. They have a tradition of food collections from the UK. And they came to us, to the Business for Society, and said we would like to implement the idea also to the Czech Republic. But we would like to have more retailers and more partners involved. And as Business for Society is an umbrella organization for responsible business, we approached other retailers and food producers on one side, and food banks and other NGOs on the other side, and coordinated the national food collection. The first year was a pilot. We were organizing it in 100 shops. And this year we said, let's make it bigger. And we actually expanded to 386 shops across the country.
Hmm. Have all the major retailers taken part, or was there any that actually said no, thank you?
There was one that said no, thank you. But after the first year's success, we actually were approached by others who joined. So we had three more retailers this year. And we also extended the number of food producers, because we have two kinds of partners. Retailers, they provide the facilities and help us to organize it. And food producers, they give food directly to NGOs and food banks.
The donations, the donated food, now goes to food banks that distribute it further to charities and groups that work with people who are basically in need and maybe cannot afford to buy their own food. But, you know, is this really necessary in the Czech Republic in the 21st century? Are there so many people that really cannot afford to buy food?
Yeah, that's actually one of the discussions we had with many people coming to the shops for the food collection. They asked us what is the real need. Actually, the estimation of the Czech Statistical Office is that we have around 15% of people that are endangered or suffering with poverty. What it means is that these people have to make everyday choices. If they will buy food, they will pay rent, or they can afford medicine. It's especially when we are talking about old people, mothers with many children, people without homes, or people living in institutions. It's about, 300... The estimations speak about 300 to half a million people who potentially need the food assistance.
The collection is supposed to provide, as far as I know, about 350,000 meals. So how significant is that in helping people? How long will it last, in other words, for the people who have to make these choices, as you said?
The food is actually used in two ways. Either it's distributed in the form of the food sort of packages to families, or old people, or it is used for kitchens or soup kitchens for the homeless people, for example. But last year, collected food lasted for 3 to 6 months in the non-profit organizations that take care of the client. So our estimation is that we will have enough food by May next year, actually. But I have to say that we collected only like tins, pasta, flour, salt, and so on and so forth. And in between, also, we are motivating companies to give food that is close to expiration period, that is also, you know, there are other commodities than what I just mentioned.
Hmm. Well, you were asking people, of course, to donate durable or canned food and things like this. Was there one item that people would donate most frequently, let's say, that, you know, that's the thing that, you know, comes to mind to everyone who wants to help and goes to the supermarket and leaves the items, the actual food with your collectors there?
We had a leaflet on a shopping list, recommended items that people should buy. But there were several groups of people. One was very pragmatic, and they were buying flour, sugar, you know, something really like the basic food. And then we had women and mothers who were buying things for children because they would like to make a better Christmas for children. So I can't say that there were some items that prevailed, but in general we had like the list of 15 items, and they were, you know, equally collected.
Out of the 173 tons of food that you've collected, almost all of it, 146 tons, was collected directly in stores from the members of the public. Have you really seen people sort of become more, feeling more in solidarity with those in need compared to last year, for instance?
First of all, the idea is becoming more common, but also there is a more willingness of people to give food than to give money. That was one of the comments we sort of came across. It was because people think that food will really go to the purpose that they donated. With money, you know, sometimes they have questions if this is, you know, being used effectively or not.
Mm-hmm. And how about the companies? You said that all the retail chains except for one have joined, but all in all, these as well as food producers have donated about 25 tons of food. Would you like to see more coming from them in the future, or perhaps more companies joining in?
You know, we are motivating companies to give all around the year because, you know, like, for example, retailers, they have very often, like once a week, they can give food to food banks that is close to expiration period. So they gave all around the all year round. We motivated some new companies to join the food collection and give especially to the occasion of the national food collection. But as there is a legal change now, or there is a change in the VAT on donated food, I am expecting more companies to give food because it was administratively and financially demanding for them so far. And those who did it, they just did it as a part of their corporate responsibility programs.
The finance ministry announced about 2 weeks ago, I think, that beginning in December, companies that donate food will not be required to pay VAT on those donations. How significant is it? Is it of assistance or help to you, this move by the finance ministry?
It's actually a very big help because from the last food collection, Business for Society was working with experts on preparing the methodical recommendation to the Ministry of Finance. Because we were sort of lobbying and advocating for this change. So I'm very happy that the Minister of Finance, for the occasion of the second edition of the National Food Collection, announced the change. The change will be significant because so far all retailers and food producers had to pay 15% on donated food. And they were donating food at prices that were sort of commercial. So it was a financial burden for them. We made a statistics that it's much that it was much cheaper to liquidate the food than to donate it to charities, which was a paradox that we had to change. So we analyzed what is the situation in surrounding countries, in European EU countries, and we proposed the change where from 15th of December, companies who will donate food will be donating food that. At the value of zero or close to zero. So from a zero, there is a zero VAT.
How did you find dealing with the finance ministry? Were they sort of ready to listen, or was it an uphill battle to make them see sort of reason?
We had some discussions, actually, with the ministry. But then when the Minister of Finance actually learned the information, it was quite quick.
Well, with the taxation changes and, you know, the success of this year, are you planning or hoping to grow even bigger next year? Or do you think that, you know, now the companies or, you know, food producers and retailers want to have to pay the tax on donated food, there won't be as much need for such, you know, a huge national food collection as there has been so far?
Well, our aim on the long-term run is elimination of food waste. So National Food Collection is just a part of, you know, the pieces of activities we do. So currently we will focus on communicating to businesses the legal change and communicating the opportunities they have in preventing the food waste at the end of the chain. But next year we want to communicate more with consumers in terms of how they can deal with food, sort of the food life, and what is the end of the life period of food, and how can it help to people better than to be liquidated.
And that was Pavlina Kolosova, one of the organizers of the second annual National Food Drive for Food Collection, talking to Jan Richter. And that takes us to the end of today's program. Don't forget, you can find us on the internet. Radio.cz is the address to visit. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. And you can find many more news items, features, and stories on the web at Radio Prague, always. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and the Radio Prague team, thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.